This is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
Hello and welcome to Duck Snort Baseball Podcast. I'm Greg Nix.
I'm Wayland McQueen.
We're back, baby!
Took a week off.
Took a little week off just to rest for the stretch run, you know, like they'll be skipping some starts here and there, playing a lot of prospects.
We should have brought someone in from the 40-man roster.
Yeah, you're right. A spot starter. We are back. We've got a great show today. We're going to be making our awards picks for the MLB season.
Finally.
The thing everybody watches sports for. Who's going to win the awards?
The awards.
We're also going to talk a little bit about the NL Central, and we're going to pick our favorite and least favorite Miami/Florida Marlins of all time.
You did Miami first. Well, that's what they're currently
what they
called.
Are now, yeah. Which I forgot until I was Googling, like, favorite Marlins or like,
you
best
forgot
Marlins.
That they were called the Miami Marlins?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Did
yeah.
you know that the Coyotes are the Arizona Coyotes?
I did not. When did they change that?
Like 3 or 4 years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I don't pay attention to hockey, and I don't live in Arizona anymore, so that makes sense.
Yeah.
It is sort of crazy, I guess, but also like the Cardinals did that a long time ago. Like they were the Phoenix Cardinals when I was growing up.
And then
probably like in the mid to late 90s, they changed to the Arizona Cardinals.
You know why they did it? It's because they moved to Glendale.
The Coyotes or the Cardinals?
Well, the Coyotes were already in Glendale, but they both play in Glendale, and I think that's why they did it.
No, I think they did it to like market better to sports fans outside of Phoenix.
Oh, because Arizona sounds better than Phoenix.
Yeah. Well, that's what they do. That's why, like, I guess the Marlins did the reverse, but I feel like that's what the Angels did.
The Twins do it because it's like a Minneapolis-St. Paul thing.
Right.
I don't know why the Rockies do it.
I think it's like to try to get, especially...
But they do it for two of their teams.
I mean, it's up to the individual teams, I guess. But I don't know. I guess like just personal choice.
If you work for one of these organizations, tell us why you did it.
Yeah. Give us a call.
Because here's the thing I think is why, because they moved to Glendale. Because the Phoenix metro area sports situation is a clusterfuck constantly.
Yes.
About where they're going to build stadiums. And like it was a big deal to build in Glendale. And I wonder if Phoenix got all whiny about it and said, if you're not going to have your stadium here, you know what I mean? You can't call it
Phoenix.
Don't
call yourself Phoenix. I don't know why, like, who would be the representative of Phoenix in that scenario?
I have
like
no idea.
The mayor?
They're like battle about, what's it called? Banquet Ballpark. Chase Field is like so stupid. I can't go into it because I don't remember, but it's like this tax thing, and it's like the Diamondbacks don't want to pay taxes, and Phoenix like won't budge, and it's like this dumb thing.
Yeah, I don't know, like, but I mean that's just every sports team in every city, I guess. Sports teams being like, "Give us free money," and then being like, "No, you already have a lot of money.
Yeah, you were a billionaire. That's why you own a sports team."
Yeah, and they're like, "We don't have enough because people aren't good enough fans." Tough shit, dude. It's all stupid. Before we get into the meat of the show, that was just a little appetizer, I guess you could say.
Like a amuse-bouche.
Yeah, exactly. I want to shout out Boardwalk Audio for their help, as always. Visit BoardwalkAudio.com. Check them out. Also, Off the Bench Baseball for their distribution help. OffTheBenchBaseball.com. Also, we were on another podcast. That's part of the reason that we were off last week was we were at a Dodgers game when we would normally be recording, tasting their chicken tenders and watching baseball.
Yeah. It was a great game.
It was a great game.
Dodgers-Rockies.
Walk-off for Chris Taylor.
Yeah, in the 10th.
But the podcast that we were on is called Tender Friends, and they review chicken tenders at various different restaurants and stuff. They're very into chicken tenders, those guys.
I feel like they're doing it the right way, right? Because you can go on that and it could just be like a tongue-in-cheek, but we got on that podcast and they
were passionate. They were sort of grading like meat texture and like stuff breading, like that.
Breading. There's a whole sauce corner.
Yeah.
We're not going to tell you how we felt about the tenders because that would be spoiling it.
Yeah.
We want you
and
to listen.
I would never spoil something as important as our opinion on Dodger Stadium
chicken
tenders.
Well, but we want them to go listen.
Right. You should listen. They were very nice guys. It was very nice of them to invite us on. It was fun to hang out with them.
Yeah.
I believe just Tender Friends, wherever you get your podcasts, if you search for that, you'll find it.
Yeah. It was fun.
Yeah. So let's talk about the NL Central. We're sitting here right now watching the Cubs lose to the Pirates.
Yeah.
As we speak, the Cubs are a game and a half up on the Brewers, but the Brewers are winning and the Cubs are losing. So we'll see what happens by the end of the night. But I'm just curious. We talked a little bit right when you got here, but where's your head at? Where's your head
well,
at? On
here's
the
thing I've done all season is say I'm not scared of the Brewers catching the Cubs.
You have said that on the podcast multiple times for sure.
It's just like, oh man. I mean, the Cubs are going to make at least that dumb one game playoff. And I only say dumb because it's only dumb when your team has to play it. Otherwise, it's amazing. I mean, I don't think it's a perfect solution. I've talked on here before where I ultimately would get rid of it, but it's still, you can't deny how fun it is.
Oh, it's so fun.
Like, the A's-Yankees game is going to be so much fun.
Yeah, and I'm hoping we get a play-in game, too.
That's a whole other thing we can talk about. But, like, remember how fun the Yankees-Twins game was last year?
Yeah, for sure. And very back and forth. Or the Royals-A's game.
Oh, well, that's an all-time class. I remember, like, beat by beat that whole night.
That was
an
insane night.
I went to coach improv. I had to go coach improv because I went to extra innings or whatever, and it was taking forever. I was watching at a bar with some friends, and I had to go coach. Like, I had to go because I was so broke and I needed the money, and I couldn't bail, like, 10
last
minutes
minute.
Before.
Yeah.
And so I got there, and, like, luckily it was some, there were kind of friends of mine. Jake Jabor was one of them. And I got there, and I was like, here's what's going on. I'm so sorry. While you warm up, I'm going to be watching it on my phone. And they're like, no problem. And then they got time to do, like, warm-up scenes. I was like, during warm-up scenes, I'm going to still be watching it on my phone. And then eventually they're like, we'll just turn it on until it's over. And so I watched the end of that game. Like, and they still paid me. Like, I was like, you don't have to pay me. And they were like, no.
Were you, like, coaching improv the same time, or they were all just watching with
during
you?
During commercial breaks, they would, they didn't do, like, one of their shows because that would take too much chunk, but we're doing exercises, and basically I would be like, okay, we're just going to pause for a moment, because it's, like, something, like, if someone got a base, or if there's a tense moment. And so they were very cool about it, and I'm very grateful because I got to watch the end of that game.
That's so funny. What a weird specific... No other Royals fan was going through that scenario with you.
No,
you know?
Yeah.
You were the only person in the world doing that specific thing at that specific moment.
It was great. And then the funny thing is when the Royals won, they were all so genuinely happy for me. And, like, we finished practice, and, like, it seemed to... Maybe they went home and grumbled, but it seemed... not at all annoying to them.
Yeah.
I really will be forever grateful that they let me do that.
Yeah.
So nice.
For sure.
The Cubs, I don't want to play that game, especially if it's against the Cardinals, because if the Cardinals win, it's just going to be the longest year.
Right.
I have, like, three people I probably won't be able to talk to for a year in my life if that Cardinals win that game. If it's Cubs-Rockies, at least it'll be fun, and I won't be, like...
Oh, yeah, for sure.
1,000% bummed.
Do you... think the Cubs are going to win the division still?
Yeah.
Are you confident in that? What is your... put a percentage on it of, like, how confident you feel that the Cubs are going to win.
0%.
0%.
I mean, like, I don't know how to... I feel like the Cubs will win the division. I feel like the Cubs are better than the Brewers. I can't say with confidence. I would not bet money on it.
Right.
It's the Cubs, man. Of course they can fuck something like this up. But, like, I don't know. I'm in that weird, it's still only 2 years ago since they won the World Series, like, you can't complain stage. It's just more annoying to be caught by the Brewers and then potentially have to play the Cardinals and almost anything else, I feel like.
Yeah, I see that. I was kind of bummed that the Cubs mostly took care of business against the White Sox this weekend. I was hoping the
White
Sox
could play spoiler.
Could be spoiler, yeah. And then they did win. They won the first game, and they kind of beat up Quintana, which was very bittersweet.
Yeah.
But then, and then I was like, all right, it's happening. Like, the White Sox are going to be the ones who take down the Cubs. And then the Cubs just crush them the next two games.
Very much, very much.
Just did. Rolled over them.
How about, I'll tell you this. I texted you this. That last moment of Hawk Harrelson was really, was really nice. In touching.
I don't think you texted me that.
Yeah, I did.
Did you?
I texted
Oh, yeah, you did.
But like,
oh, with the like with them like tipping their caps and like, stuff. It was nice that Madden and the Cubs did it too.
But just like the whole White Sox bench clearing, like everybody, not just the players, but like there were like old guys that weren't wearing uniforms coming out and just like waving at him, and he was so choked up he could barely talk. And then like even his last sign off with Steve in that like shot in the booth with the state that they always do at the end of games, like when he said his like final words and you could barely get him out. It was just like a really nice moment. Like, it's a true, like, love him or hate him, like, he is an icon.
Yeah, and I think, well, the thing that made Hawk Hawk and, like, made him great for the people who liked him and terrible for the people who didn't was that he really did wear his heart on his sleeve. Yeah. You know, he just didn't have the filter that, like, a regular or trained, I guess you could say, like, broadcaster had.
Yeah.
And that's what endeared him to White Sox fans, and that is what he was showing in those few moments, but in a way that was maybe more accessible to, you know, non-White Sox fans, because it was not about baseball. It was about like sort of his appreciation for the game and his appreciation of the fans and stuff. And that is what I think, like, you would never see that from Vin Scully in that way, you know?
That's true.
And
that's
I think that's a good point. That's kind of why there's been a lot of coverage of Hawk, obviously, in the last like week or two, because he's retiring and it's been so long, and also the White Sox are bad, so there's nothing else to talk about. And I think like he's made more of an indelible mark on baseball than I had sort of even realized before that, because he's, you know, there's like Euchre's the only other guy maybe that I would put in that category that is still around, and there aren't going to be any new Hawks.
Yeah, we talked about that before.
And like, I think that I've never really been like a huge proponent of like, well, he deserves the Frick Award, you know, he should be in the Hall of Fame. But like, I feel a little bit more like he should now, even though like he's not like a polished broadcaster, you know, he's not like
from like an impact of the game perspective.
Yeah, and like we've talked about the Hall of Fame, it's a baseball museum. Hawk has contributed a lot to baseball in terms of like terminology and stuff like that. He's coined a lot of phrases that you hear in
Big Hurt, man. That's all you need. You
can nicknames for sure, but even like Can of Corn or like Duck Snort.
Well, he invented Can of Corn.
He popularized it. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. For sure.
That. I don't think that's true.
No, it's true.
I think he used it. I'm gonna actually look that up. Can of Corn's been around for a million.
I mean,
years.
It's been around, but like, I feel like he. There are terms in the baseball lexicon because of Hawk.
I think Duck Snort, 100%, yes. I just feel like Can of Corn's been around.
I mean, you can Google it, but if I'm wrong, it's because...
I don't know why I'm arguing. I'm not... I mean, certainly he used Can of Corn a lot. You know what I mean? So it's not like... I just feel like in those old baseball books I read, they'd have like baseball terminology and Can of Corn. But I guess Hawk's been around for so long that maybe, maybe I just didn't really fully realize.
Let's see.
Glossary.
Frequently used by Red Barber, a variation.
There we go.
Bob Prince, Pirates announcer. The phrase was also used by Phil Rizzuto and then Ken the Hawk Harrelson.
So he.
Enduring, I
he,
guess.
He kept the term
going.
But sorry, I didn't mean to come forcefully. No. I just have Can of Corn stuck in my head as such like an old like 40s
term. But like my point being just that like I think that there's something to be said for a unique baseball voice being in the Hall of Fame as opposed to like a more standard one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's all.
I think so.
That's all I've like come around on the last couple weeks maybe.
I think so. I think he also suffered a little bit. We've talked about it, that he's got so, like, crotchety.
Oh, my God. Like, terribly.
And White Sox fans, like, almost turned on him.
Yeah, I mean, you know I'm glad he's retired. Yeah, he's, past his prime for
Which
sure.
Which I think is, like, so, like, and it's probably been that way for at least 5 years, if not more.
For sure.
So that's, like, unfortunate, because I feel like Harry Carey became, and Bob Uecker is now like that. They're like untouchable, lovable, like doesn't yeah. matter what they say. Like they're not, they didn't go down that path, but Hawk right. kind of unfortunately did.
Yeah. Well, Hawk was never lovable.
Well, that's
I don't
true.
Think like,
but
you know,
I mean, I feel like
he's fiery.
He's fiery. And I feel like at a certain point, the White Sox could appreciate that.
Yeah.
And then it kind of declined. I think that's unfortunate because,
well,
if you watch old like 90s games with Hawk, I'm sure like you get a different impression. He's still fiery.
For sure.
He's still Hawk.
Yeah. And he was like, if the game was going good, he's fun. He's still fun to listen
that's
to.
True,
but it's
yeah.
when the game is going bad. And that's when he like sort of checks out in a way. And like he just repeats kind of the same like tropes and like ideas over again, and it's like there's so many running jokes about like Hawk telling stories about Carl Yastrzemski or whatever, like and he doesn't, part of it too is he and Steve Stone really don't like each other, and so like with Stone in the booth, like he didn't want to have real conversations with him, you know, they would only be talking about the game, and when the game sucked, that meant the broadcast sucked.
Yeah.
So it's good that he's retired for sure. But like, and I did get tired of him.
Yeah.
But
well, I'm just saying it's unfortunate because
yeah,
feel
it's
like
very
that,
unfortunate.
When you're talking about, speaking of, did we mention that fight that those Tigers broadcasters have?
Oh, no,
when you
I said
don't
think
like
so.
Each other?
Yeah, that was crazy. One of them choked the other one, right?
Yeah, over a chair is what like the rumors. The only reason I thought of that is because they hate each other. But
you wouldn't have known it from their
yeah,
broadcast.
I talked to a couple of Tigers fans and they were like, I was like, could you tell? And they're like, actually, people thought that they had great chemistry and they liked each other.
Yeah.
And I was
See,
like, that's so great. Then I was like,
you could tell Hawk and Stone.
Yeah,
don't
right.
Like
yeah.
each other.
But then I got thinking like, do Len and JD not like each other? Like,
it could be
like,
yeah, who knows?
Who knows what relationship people have? I know that Penn and Teller don't hang out ever outside of work.
Yeah. That's interesting.
The Mythbusters guys didn't like each other?
I mean, I guess there is like, you know, I guess it's the same with athletes too, you know, like especially basketball players. I feel like this is a case that everybody wants them to like sort of be like buddies and hanging out off the court. And I've heard like athletes talk about that as like, I don't know why everybody like thinks we need to do that. Like we're coworkers.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess it's
I
mean, it is
such
weird.
An intimate
yeah.
setting,
yeah.
But like
creative partners, I guess I get. But I also get wanting to have some kind of divide between your like professional life and your personal life.
Yeah. I guess like it's also crazy to think of like Penn and Teller hung out all the time.
Yeah.
Like they're with each other like probably
yeah,
80 hours a week.
They're working together
yeah,
all the
so
time.
So like why would they want to hang out?
Yeah. But it is weird to think that like off camera or off mic chemistry is so vastly different.
Yeah, I don't think Penn and Teller like hate each other. I think they're just not friends.
But like these Tigers guys.
Like,
what if we just hated each other? When
yeah,
we
this
weren't
is how we
reveal.
Like we fucking hate each other. When we do this podcast for all. It's for the money.
For we're only doing this for the millions.
Oh my god, I don't think I could do this if I didn't like you. This would be torture. So anyway, that's why I'm worried about the guy. What? Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm even before this podcast started, how many times have I like sighed and just been like watching this.
It's just so frustrating to watch.
Yeah.
Like when you're in first and your team is in first and another team's closing in on it, and it feels like they have momentum and they you know, inertia is on their side, and like the team you're rooting for just like can't do anything, it seems like.
Yeah,
you know, it's very weird, and it's like partially constructed inside, you know, your brain as a fan, like that, you know, there's no such thing as momentum really or whatever, and like
it's impossible to ignore.
Yeah, it really is.
I don't know, that's it's like one of those things that's like not real, but like,
but it
if
is
you've played sports.
Yeah, no, and you like, do you're right. Yeah.
Like you can feel, there's like a feeling. I mean, with anything, like doing improv.
Right.
Like there's a,
I don't know. Well, definitely with doing improv. Yeah. But I think the weird thing is like statistically, you know, you want to be in the Cubs position. Like, as we're talking about this, 100%. There's still a game and a half up. Like that's a huge advantage with like five games left in the season or whatever. Yeah. But like, it feels like you want to be the Brewers right now, you know, because they're the ones.
Fun. Yeah.
It's more fun. And it also feels like they're the ones who are, crushing the Cardinals. You know, they're the ones who are who have been like winning and like they're coming up with the big hits. And
well, the thing that's even if the Cubs win the division, like it's going to feel nice, but like you're not. It's even going to be more fun to be a Brewers fan if they win the division.
Yeah,
because it's like they caught they it came and they from won. Behind. If the Cubs win, it's just like a whew.
Yeah.
Now we have to play the fucking
bullet dodge.
Now we have to maybe
thing.
Play the Brewers in a best of five, and that'll be stressful. Like
But like I was saying right before we started recording, the White Sox were in that exact position in 05. They were really slumping down the stretch, and the Indians were like really charging hard, and they didn't clinch. They had been leading the division like wire to wire, and they didn't clinch until I think like 2 days left in the season or something like that. Yeah. And then they proceeded to go 11-1 in the playoffs.
Oh, did they win the World Series that year?
They sure did.
Oh, I didn't remember.
Yeah, you and ESPN both. Well, let's transition very smoothly into our awards picks by talking about potentially the Brewers and the NL MVP.
NL MVP?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I was just looking at this yesterday and I have a hard time giving it to DeGrom for a reason that I can't even define. No, because I'm not anti-pitcher winning the MVP.
Yeah.
And I don't look at his wins. I don't care about that. And like I know about his peripheral stats and his WAR and everything like that. Although I think Nola has a higher baseball reference WAR than him.
He does. I was reading about that today.
Yeah, me too.
There's
and it's like
some thought that it's because it's like a statistical fluke because the Phillies have such a terrible defense.
Yeah, that's what it was. It just like feels like, and I'm not like one of those play. Like it almost feels like, because I don't think that you have to make the playoffs to win the MVP, but I feel like every single thing I just mentioned is against DeGrom. You know what I mean? And it's like all of that stuff is clanging around, and I was like, it feels crazy to give him the MVP. Cy Young, yes. I mean, spoiler alert, I guess. But like, so I feel like I'd give it to Yelich, which I know is like a recency bias narrative thing, but he's playing well. Who's leading war? Who position players leading war?
In the NL, it is Yelich.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's been so we've talked about how unclear it's been the entire season who should win the MVP. And my heart says Javi, but I don't. But my brain feels like he's not actually the most valuable player in the National League.
Yeah. I think it'd be... My opinion on sort of like awards arguments and the sort of narrative type stuff is like kind of nebulous because I'm like, sometimes I think the narrative... If it's like a tie sort of...
Yeah.
Like...
Oh, yeah. I agree with
that. It can push you over the top. And I guess I do feel like even though... DeGrom has a huge edge statistically, it somehow is still a tie because of the position player like pitcher thing. And it's like you just I don't know, it is weird because you're right, like he's having as good or better a season as the year Verlander won the MVP. I guess the difference being that the Tigers were good that year and the Mets are terrible. It's part of it is just the Mets too, and you're like, the Mets? We can't give the MVP to a guy on the Mets.
Yeah, like...
Which is dumb, but like...
It feels weird to give him the MVP. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, you're right. There's like some sort of cognitive dissonance that is like entirely not fair to him.
It's not at all. Like, I know I'm being irrational.
Yeah.
Like...
Which sucks because like I usually do fall like... I'm like 70-30 on the stats side of the argument or 80-20 or something. And now I'm like... Yeah, I think you're right. I think Yelich is my pick as well.
Yeah.
And it is like, it feels like when Jimmy Rollins won it to me. Of like...
For Yelich winning?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of like...
It's got to be somebody.
Well, yeah, and like...
Or he had a narrative.
He had a narrative. He like of sort of... He was like electric in the last couple months, like helping the Phillies to the playoffs and... The Phillies hadn't been really very good for a long time, much like the Brewers, or they had come close but not made the playoffs. And I think there's just, not that they're similar players, but I think like their careers will be similar in terms of like they're good players. neither of them, I would say, is like one of the best players in baseball at any point. And they're like, not going to put them in that sort of like Mike Trout, Mookie Betts type class of player, like really.
Right.
Certainly with Rollins, because his career is over. But like, I feel like this is the leap that Yelich is taking. It's like, maybe he's going to be a 7-win player this year and like a 6 or 5-win player, but he's not going to be an 8 or 9-win player.
Exactly. Yeah, I agree with that. But I mean, reward a guy for having a really good year.
Yeah.
Who would be like your top five? Or is that a lot to ask?
I think that's really hard in the NL.
Yeah.
There's not... Like DeGrom would probably be second.
I would put DeGrom too, for sure. And like then what do
Kane,
you do?
Kane, maybe?
Goldschmidt?
Yeah, Goldschmidt, maybe. I mean, I guess I would put probably Baez third, Kane fourth.
I think I would do Kane third, Baez fourth, and then probably either Arenado or Goldschmidt.
Yeah.
What a weird year.
I guess Arenado, just because, the Rockies are... Yeah. Good, and if it's like a tiebreaker scenario, I'll pick the player on the good team.
And he's insanely fun to watch.
Yeah.
And like, I think that's with Javi. I think that's part of it in a way, too, for me, is like, if it's so close and not a clear-cut winner, it's like, well, I like watching Javi Baez. I like watching Arenado. Have I ever once tuned in to a DeGrom start?
Yeah.
Like, even Yelich is more fun. The prospect of watching Yelich is more fun. Kane is like super fun to watch.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, I think the fun player narrative is taking over.
Yeah, that's true,
versus
too.
Versus just like...
Well, and that's, again, like, position player versus pitcher. Like, the majority of the time, the position player is going to be, like, more exciting to watch, because when a pitcher is dominating, you know, you get, like, whiffs and stuff, but you're not getting exciting plays.
Verlander won was, like, I remember, like, tuning into his starts.
Yeah, but in this game tonight, Yelich hit a bases clearing triple,
right.
And that's more exciting than anything a pitcher is going to do outside of a no hitter.
I don't know. I think you're right, but I still think there's something to be said. Like, because we've talked about this before when talking about Verlander, it's like watching Verlander throw 99 in the eighth in a 2-1 game was super fun. But like, that's also like a slow developing commitment.
Well, look,
versus like.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I like baseball.
That's true.
I like most things that are good in baseball, I'm going to like watching because it's fun. We're talking about degrees of fun.
Yeah,
you know,
true.
Not saying like bases clearing triple or like pitchers fucking suck. Like,
that'd be so fun if you just fucking hate it.
I just hate pitchers, dude.
I hate pitchers, dude. They're the worst part of the game.
As soon as the ball's out of their hands, smooth sailing. But when they wind up, don't even get me started.
I specifically hate the wind up.
By the way, so let's move to NL Cy Young. I agree with you, DeGrom. Fangraphs war, DeGrom is like 3.5 wins better than Nola.
So that's just a quirk of the baseball reference.
Yeah, well, Fangraphs war is based on fielding independent numbers, and
right.
Baseball reference is based
on
results.
I mean, here's what... So I think that anybody that's a baseball fan that at all buys into any sort of advanced statistics believes that DeGrom is the best pitcher in the National League.
Yeah.
And that he should win the Cy Young in some sort of weird vacuum where wins don't matter. But I think we have to very actively be rooting for him to lose his next game and be 9-10.
Yeah.
Because
it'd be great.
First of all,
it'd be awesome.
If he wins the Cy Young with a losing record, I would... You watching the Brewers game on your phone?
It was a highlight. Highlight of James McCann hitting a 2-run double in the thrilling Tigers Twins matchup. That I don't know why it came on.
I don't want it to cost him the Cy Young, but oh man,
yeah, for sure, that'd be fun.
Record,
that's a fun statistical.
So I think we have to root for him giving up 1 run in 7 innings and the Mets losing 1-0.
1 run in 9 innings.
Oh my gosh, can you imagine if he goes complete?
How embarrassed would you be to be like his teammate in that dugout, just being like, fuck,
I'm
dude.
I'm so sorry.
Sorry.
I'm so sorry you have a losing record in like an almost 10-win season.
Did you see, maybe we read the same article, I think it was on The Ringer, that I think it was DeGrom's ERA plus is the same like as Bob Gibson's in the year that he...
1968,
that he had the 1.12 ERA. Yeah. I think it was ERA plus, or maybe it was some other measurement of like relative to the league, he's having as good a season as Bob Gibson did. That's crazy.
And he
crazy.
Might go 9-10.
That's crazy. Fucking Mets, dude. okay, so who's your AL MVP pick? Or should we say rookie of the year? Yeah, that's rookie a good of rookie year? Of the year debate.
Yeah.
And are you going Soto or Acuna?
I got to give it to Acuna.
Yeah.
Kind of this one, I am willing to boil down to the fact that the Braves are making the playoffs. And I don't normally use that as a criteria, but just because, like, his impact, because they're essentially the same player statistically, right? Or last time I read, which was like a week ago. Like,
very similar.
They're almost the same statistically. So, like, then you had to boil it down to, like, well, Acuna did it for a team in a playoff hunt. Like, which I know doesn't mean a lot and shouldn't, but, like, you got to use something as a tiebreaker.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I guess if you want to use a tiebreaker, that Soto's 19.
Yeah.
I feel like
a year
that's
younger.
A legitimate. Like, I feel like when it's rookie of the year, you got to come down to this kind of stuff when they're so similar.
Yeah.
Unless you're looking at something now that makes them different. But last time I checked, they were essentially the same. I think Acuna's defense is a little better.
It is, yeah.
So I guess you can use that as the tiebreaker, too. I would give it to Acuna, but I would not blame a single person for voting for Soto.
Yeah. I mean, they are so similar. I think, like, the year difference means something, but not particularly for this award. Like, it maybe means something in sort of the long-term trajectory of their careers, but also it's, like, 19 versus 20. Like, they're both, like, neither of them can buy a beer, you know?
I mean, it was crazy when Soto... That's a clown question, bro. neither one... it was impressive that Soto played, what, like, 5 double-A games? Or whatever.
Yeah, he came straight from like A-ball, basically.
I mean, narrative, it's just so close. I would give it to Acuna just because the Braves, I know that's lame, but I don't know how else to do it. And then what about, what's his name, Hader for the Cardinals?
Oh, Harrison Bader.
Or Bader, yeah.
I mean, yeah, he's having a great season, but I think, like, as much as I think that defensive metrics are like in the ballpark, like, or in the right ballpark in terms of measuring a player's value, I don't know that it's enough for me. Like, you can't say it, like, scientifically, like, whether he's the best defender in the league or a good defender. And, like, whatever case you make for him against Soto or Acuna rests on him being the best defensive player in the league.
Yeah, and I think just because Soto and Acuna are so good.
That, yeah.
Like, who'd you give it to?
I think I would give it to Acuna as well, but like super close, and almost the age difference would make me give it to Soto, but I just think Acuna's been slightly better, and he's also because the Braves are good, and he's like kind of arguably their best player at this point because Freeman is not having a great second half.
Did Acuna play for like 3 more weeks?
Soto actually has a few more games. Oh, I think Acuna got called up first, but he also missed some time. Yeah.
Also, I mean, I think, again, like a narrative thing, Acuna has that like leadoff homer streak and all that. Like, I was more aware generally of Acuna, I feel like, than Soto, which also isn't Soto's fault.
Yeah.
But, you know.
It also just feels fitting that the like Nationals almost got there. You know?
Yeah.
Like, it just makes sense for the Nationals.
Cool. You want to go to the AL?
Yeah.
We're going to start with MVP.
Yeah, let's do it.
This is hard.
Very
right?
hard.
You think Trout's out of it? I'm going to start there. You think you think he missed too much time?
No. He has only 13 less plate appearances than Mookie Betts.
Oh, because Mookie Betts missed time.
Mm-hmm. He's actually played in more games than Mookie Betts.
If I had...
That's crazy.
Yeah, it feels
they're both over 9 wins, and they both missed like 25 games.
Feels like
games.
Trout missed like 2 months. Maybe just because a week without Trout feels like a month. Like,
yeah.
I almost hate doing it, but I think I'd give it to Betts.
I think I do too.
Yeah.
I think it sucks because like... Here's why it sucks. Because Trout should have like 4 or 5 MVPs at this point.
Yeah.
And so you're like, he can't lose again. He's the best player in baseball. But this is the one year that you can make a legitimate argument that there's been another outfielder better than him. Like, I wish we could take...
Right, because Donaldson was...
I wish we could take away Miggy's MVP that he won. Or two. Did he win 1 or 2 over Trout? I think just 1, right? The Triple Crown year?
1, I think.
I wish we could take his away, yeah. And then I would feel better about giving this year's to Betts. And even Donaldson's, yeah. I think Trout.
I understand the case for Donaldson, but I think Trout.
I think you're right,
Donaldson. I think it's Betts this year. Oh man,
I just feel like if Mookie Betts is gonna win an MVP, which it feels like he should, because he's one of the five best players in baseball. This is the year that you give it to him. Much like it felt like Altuve last year. Like if he's ever gonna win an MVP, this is the season that it's gonna be. So unless like,
oh man, I hate doing it so much.
It's weird. I was listening to the Sox Machine podcast, and Jim was talking about how he'd be okay if like it came out as a tie, and that would be.
I was just gonna say that about Soto and Acuna, and I feel like a tie that hasn't happened since like '79, I don't think, for MVP.
I don't know.
Keith Hernandez and I want to say Bob Horner. I could be wrong.
No idea. I'll go with it.
Yeah, we're gonna say that's a fact. Keith Hernandez definitely tied it would have been Willie Stargell and Keith Hernandez. All right, not worth it. But Keith Hernandez was definitely one of the ones who tied in '79. I don't think it was Willie Stargell. I'm losing it.
I think just
man,
like Betts has been slightly better statistically, like it's marginal. But then again, if you need a tiebreaker, the Red Sox have the best record in baseball since 2001, and the Angels are not good. And that's not Mike Trout's fault. But if you need something to break the tie, that's one thing. It's really it's hard.
Do you know what my tiebreaker is? I think, which is just as lame as anything.
You hate Orange County?
I hate Orange County. No, I mean, I do hate Orange County. But Betts is hitting almost 350. And Trout's doing it with walks in a lot of ways.
Sure.
And I know that's like super. You have to split hairs when it's this close.
Right.
I mean, Trout's on base percentage is 459, which is outrageous. But he's walked almost 120 times, which is crazy. So I think that, like, that kind of thing, it's like, well, I believe that a single is obviously as good as a walk. And you shouldn't knock Trout for taking pitches and getting on base. And what I mean? Like, but if I'm going to look at something, I'm going to look at the fact that Mookie Betts is getting a ton of hits.
Yeah.
And I guess like if we're in the situation where it's like we're complaining about baseball because it's too slow and the ball is not being put into play, like why not reward the guy who's like doing his best to like be entertaining?
Yeah.
Trout is the most, it's so entertaining. But you know what I mean? Like why not? I don't know. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Part of...
I know batting average is garbage, but what else am I supposed to look at?
Yeah. No,
it's
I'm
not
with
even
you.
I think batting average has value. I just think it's overvalued. I don't think batting average is like pitcher wins or RBI where it says almost nothing. But
I think like in a race this close, it just comes down to personal preference.
Yeah.
You know,
I think Mike Trout better.
I love Mike Trout and I like the Angels better than the Red Sox. But I just think that I think Betts is a guy who I want to see win an MVP award.
I think he earned it. I think he's been exciting all season. He's like a catalyst for that team. How would you, if you did five this one, or sorry, if you had another thing to say.
Well, I was just going to say also, like, I don't know that, like, yes, Trout deserves more MVPs, but I don't know that it's going to change the discussion of his career in any way that matters. You know what I mean? I think he's going to go down
as
one of
the, either.
Like, 5 or 10 greatest players in the history of baseball, regardless of how many individual seasons he's recognized for, especially because we can all acknowledge, like, he got fucking robbed of one MVP against Cabrera, and then arguably to Donaldson as well.
Yeah. And he's 1-2?
He's 1-2, yeah.
And then I don't think he didn't get robbed against Altuve. So this will be a year where I won't mind if Betts wins, but a tie would be nice. So if you did a top five for this one, just because we did it with the other one, I think it's also interesting. We only talked about two guys, but I think they're, who would you put at number three?
I would put Jose Ramirez, probably. He did lose two MVPs to Cabrera. Sorry. He lost two MVPs to Cabrera.
Rookie year and then the year after?
And then in both years, he was like over two wins better
that's
than.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, that sucks. Give it to him his second year. Come on.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I would put JD Martinez at number three.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
What? Why? Just because he, I mean, he's been really good, but
like the Indians?
He's a DH.
Because I don't like the Indians, probably.
But Jose Ramirez, I mean, we've talked about, we talked about this a couple episodes ago.
I'd put him at four. I'd put Ramirez at four.
I would put Ramirez, Ramirez, Bregman, Lindor, I think, 3, 4, 5.
I'd put Bregman five. And then so, I would, and then it would be.
Chapman has a good case, too.
What about Chris Davis? Dingers.
Chapman's been way better than Chris Davis overall.
Yeah, but Davis, Chris Davis is doing that thing where he might hit like 249 for like the seventh straight year. Or
I mean, I love that. He's definitely going to get the most Chris Davis award, which is a tough race if you think about it, you know?
The other Chris Davis is.
Although he has been very Chris Davis this year as well.
God, man. Anyway, no, I just wanted to bring up Chris Davis because I like him. Yeah, Chapman's been very good. I think Bregman's been so good. It's almost been low key how good he's been.
It has, yeah. Yeah, I didn't realize until a few weeks ago that he was like basically single-handedly, but he was like carrying the Astros offense.
We're both, yeah. Like when all those injuries were going on. Yeah, I mean, I think that it's not unfair to say that the reason the Astros were able to win 100 games, which they just did today, is because of Bregman.
Yeah. I think in a different year, either Ramirez or Bregman would have like a great chance. Or if they were in the NL, any of these players would win the MVP if they were in the NL.
Yeah,
any of those guys that we just named.
I agree. I 100% agree.
Except Mike Trout. People would find a reason not to give it to him, including us.
Yeah. then we give it to Acuna. Acuna wins
MVP. Yeah. AL Cy Young.
Which has got, I feel like, infinitely more interesting in the last 6 weeks.
Oh, for sure.
So what do you think?
This one's really hard. There's no standout candidate, and I think it really comes down to what you value in a starting pitcher. Like, do you value inning-by-inning dominance, or do you value 200 innings and slightly lesser dominance? Do you value nice round numbers in terms of, like, wins and ERA? Mm-hmm. Do you value any kind of narrative?
Who's in the conversation for you? Verlander, Snell, Kluber, Cole, Bauer?
Sale.
Oh, still?
Yeah. I mean, he's been the best inning by inning of any of them.
Okay.
And he's pitched about as many innings as Bauer.
That's true. So are those who are considering?
Yeah.
Is there anybody in there I named that you aren't considering? Is Cole out of it for you?
I think I would put Cole, even though he's having as good a season as any of those guys, I think I would put him slightly below the other guys just because, again, if we're splitting hairs, I think consistency-wise, like career-wise, like he just doesn't... Like I want to see him do it another year before I put him...
Cool.
Yeah, in kind of that... Like he's so up and down, you know what I mean? Or he has been in his career.
He wasn't dominant enough for you to like say we got to give it to this guy.
Right.
Because I feel like... Yeah, I get it. So now we've narrowed it down to Verlander, Sale, Kluber... Bauer?
For me, I think it really...
Snell.
And Snell.
Yeah.
For me, I think it comes down to Verlander and Kluber.
So Snell's out of it for you.
I think Snell's out of it. By virtue of the way the Rays manage their pitching staff, he's pitched like about 30 less innings than either of those guys.
Okay.
Not being injured,
argument.
You know? And I think that not only is there like less value in terms of like having relievers eat up those innings, but I think that's one of the reasons why his ERA is so low, is because they pull him before the third time through the order.
He's been in an advantageous position.
Yeah. Right. So he basically pitches an inning less per start, which like lowers the degree of difficulty in the same way, not to the same extreme, but in the same way that like, a reliever can have a ERA below one because they if they have like a good slash lucky season because they're only pitching 80 innings. It's like it's much easier to have an ERA below 2 for 160 sure. innings than for 200 yeah. innings.
And then it's, I mean, you're getting those wins because he does have a lot of wins because right. you're pitching 5 innings and you're coming out with the lead.
Right.
Yeah. He has been very good.
Oh, no doubt.
And it's real. I think it's cool to see someone yeah, like Blake sure. Snell come out of nowhere and have us talk about him.
I think the Rays season in general has been super fun.
It's really disappointing that they're in the American League to me.
Yeah. Not in the American League East. Like if they were in the Central, they have a better
like
record
a
than
out.
The Indians, I think. Or
I
they
think
did.
Like a game out right now. Or they would be.
There was some point last week in at which the. Of course, the Indians then played the White Sox, so the Indians are probably better now. But
yeah, the Rays, as of this recording, are 87-70.
Yeah, so they're a game behind.
So a
game
and
a half.
Yeah. So yeah, they're a game and a half behind, and I think that they would be tied for the NL West lead, and I think that they would be like a game and a half behind the Braves, and I think that they would be like in a wild card spot in the NL. I think it's more of a, because normally, like, I don't get too worked up about, like, oh, the 90-win team that didn't make the playoffs because they're in the wrong, you know what I mean? But just, like, it feels like the Rays are the Rockies of the AL, where it's like, I think baseball's just better the more we get to see this weird team.
Yeah, it's fun.
Like, and, like, these players that, like, you don't really hear of, and they win in weird ways. I mean, like, I think that's why it was fun for the Royals to be good for, like, a year.
Right.
Like,
the teams that are not the usual suspects.
Yeah, it's the same reason the A's are fun. Mm-hmm. And it's just, like, a super bummer. And it seems like Rays fans aren't, like, in the Reddit thread when they were eliminated from the playoffs, it seemed like a lot of the comments were just like, it was cool, this is a fun year. Mm-hmm. Can you believe it? And probably because they were expected to maybe win 75 games.
Right.
And then they pulled off this. You know, and then maybe it's also just because the A's are so good. It's like, it's not like they didn't win. They couldn't win the wild card. Like they were
right.
It wasn't just because of their division. They had a tough league.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so, okay. So you have it down to Verlander and Kluber.
Yeah. I think I'm going Verlander.
I'm going Verlander.
He was so
too.
Close last year. He's the legend in the thing. Like Kluber's won what, the last two?
He's won at least two total. No, because Rick Porcello won 2 years ago.
Oh, right.
But he has won two total, and he should have won the last two.
I think Verlander's been slightly better than Kluber. Kluber's first one was in 2014.
Yeah.
And like we've talked about Verlander on the show this season, it's just, you know, I think we both expected him to be done being a good pitcher when he had that stretch with the Tigers where he wasn't very good. And then the fact that he came back and now he's the ace again and for a fun team in Houston.
Yeah.
I do value somebody at the front of the rotation who takes the ball every game. I think that's like an underrated thing that's hard to place value on.
Yeah.
Statistically, and as much as like I think Sale would be my second because he was just having such an incredible year before he got hurt, but he just missed too much time.
I think he did miss too much time, even though he still has some like really good numbers, but he's not going to qualify
for
and stuff. So
yeah, and he was. It did feel like, you know, in July it felt like this is Sale's year. This is the year that he wins.
Oh, for
the
sure. Yes. Yeah. It was a foregone conclusion almost, it felt like.
Yeah. And it's just really unfortunate that he got hurt in the way he did and at the time he did and all that. So, yeah, I don't know. So you're giving it to Verlander as well.
I would give it to Verlander. I think, like, if I had a real vote, I would put Snell second and it would be a purposeful fuck you vote. Like I would never to Kluber cause he's an Indian. I never would do that with like the first place votes. I really feel like I can set things aside, but if I had like a ballot, I would definitely do some like putting Snell ahead of Kluber. Also Kluber's won too. I think that plays into it. Like Kluber doesn't like, I know Verlander's won some too, but I feel like it's more of a statement to be like, congratulations. Snell.
Well, here's my counter argument for, because unlike Mike Trout, I don't think MVPs are going to be the thing that dictates the narrative about Mike Trout's career.
Oh,
Cy Kluber, Young's for
Kluber.
Kluber that could be
him.
The thing that gets him into the Hall of Fame or doesn't.
Three.
You know what I mean? Like, he's not going to come close to 300 wins. He's not going to probably reach any of these meaningful benchmarks. But if he's a guy who wins three or four Cy Youngs, that's much harder to keep him out of the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
And it does feel like he is a pitcher who is good enough to be in the Hall of Fame if he keeps it going another few years.
If I felt like if Verlander wasn't in it and it was between Kluber and Snell, I would give it to Kluber.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm given a second place vote,
right,
I'm going to give it to Snell.
That's fair.
A complete narrative thing. I think Kluber is probably the second best pitcher in baseball.
Yeah.
And I think Bauer is probably up there, but he just doesn't pitch a lot too. Kluber's not the second best pitcher in baseball. He's in the AL. Because DeGrom. Yeah, okay. AL Rookie of the Year?
This one is, it's hard. Another hard one for kind of the same reasons of like, all the candidates have like a little piece missing from their argument, it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
I think it comes down to Ohtani, Gleyber Torres, and Miguel Andujar.
Yeah, I feel probably. Like it's got to be those three.
And I'm going to go Ohtani.
I am too.
I mean, I think he was probably the most valuable statistically. And he's just like was electric when he was healthy. I mean, it's unfortunate that he was hurt so much, of course, but it does feel like, you know, that it's still cool that we got to see it, and he was still really, really good when he was healthy.
Yeah, I think you got to give it to Ohtani.
Well, we're agreed then.
Who? What?
I said we're agreed then.
Who would you give it to? Who's your second?
I think Torres.
Okay, I would have gone Andujar,
I believe. Yeah.
For no real reason other than Gleyber Torres.
Used to be a Cub.
Yep.
That's fair.
Sour grapes. Right. They both were very good. Here's what's crazy. We just picked six awards, and I feel like five of them came down to a little bit narrative-based.
Yeah, which is not the way I would love to be picking awards.
Me neither. I traditionally don't feel like I have ever.
Yeah.
But DeGrom is really the only one that I can make a solid statistical case for above the rest of the
field. Like head and shoulders, yeah.
Whereas the rest, there's no reason for
me to...
Well,
except for NL MVP, which again, you can make a solid statistical case, but we talked about it.
Oh, well, I guess pitcher, yeah. But the reason we decided not to go with DeGrom was narrative stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
And... everything else was just, these guys are too close. I'm going to pick kind of gut feeling who was my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
That's fun.
Yeah. They're all interesting arguments, though. At least it's like, it's narrative-based, but it's not stupid, like, Triple Crown narrative-based, you know? Like, the Triple Crown is a statistical argument made to look like a narrative argument, but it's like a bad statistical argument. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if JD Martinez won the Triple Crown and then beat Mookie Betts and Mike Trout for the MVP,
it would be a very stupid argument
to make.
100%. Or if you tried to argue JD Martinez should win over Betts even now. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Like, but I think when it's this close, it comes down. I don't think anybody could give me a compelling argument to convince me. Oh, like for some, you know, like for a lot of these awards.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you can give me a very compelling statistic argument for DeGrom, but we talked about that. But like,
let me give you an argument for AL Cy Young. 200 innings for the 10th time in his career.
Verlander?
Took the ball every fifth day. Sure, he led the league in losses. Yes, his best days are behind him. But James Shields has come out of nowhere.
He pitched 200 innings?
Yeah, tonight he made it to 200 innings.
Boy.
Yeah. That says something.
I cannot believe that. I mean, it's a bad team.
Yeah.
That's why.
Very bad team. He was fine. He's like almost league average.
I don't think you get 200
average.
Innings on a good time, though, because Renteria is just like, I don't care if we're down 6.
Well, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like you're old. We're not worried about you getting, like, losing your stuff or whatever.
You're not going to get hurt. It doesn't matter if you give up 6 runs.
Like, really, the only thing that you have to offer us is that you can keep throwing the ball until we take you out of the game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there were plenty of games where he went, like, 7 innings and gave up 5 runs or whatever, 6 runs. But, yeah, I'm actually. I'll do a mini rant, which is like there's a bunch of White Sox fans like on Twitter and in the comments on Sox Machine that like want to re-sign Shields to like have him do another season of like, well, he hasn't been that bad this year and like we can count on him. He's like, you know, watchable enough. And I'm like, man, they really have beaten down our expectations so bad. If like the thing that we're like, we're okay with James Shields being a centerpiece of the rotation for another year.
No, you can't do that.
No.
That's unfortunate. I rolled my eyes when you were talking about that because Chris Bryant got hit in the wrist earlier and he did get taken out of the game.
Oh, shit. Well, hopefully precautionary.
I mean, they are down 6-0. Yeah, so, yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, you can't. James, you shouldn't be talking yourself into James Shields in any capacity.
There's like any number of pitchers who like at least have the upside of like being 30 instead of like 37 or whatever, you know, where you could like at least like if they have another season like James Shields is having this year, at least you could say, oh, maybe they'll be able to do that for three or 4 years.
There's no way.
Not like Shields, especially after the last 2 years, Shields was so bad.
He's a ticking time bomb.
Yeah.
He's going to fall off a cliff and he'll never be good again at some point.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's, I think it's going to happen sooner than later.
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, he already came back from the dead once. Like, I didn't think he would make it through this season based on how he pitched last year.
That is true. That's why I almost, literally almost dropped the microphone when you told me he pitched 200 innings. I know he's been better
it's
this
like,
year.
It's like a mini Verlander sans.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, he went from...
Only, like, Verlander shitty was still better than James Shield this year.
Yes.
Shields this year.
True.
But it wasn't... Yeah, it was a mini Verlander sans. That's a good word. I like Verlander sans.
We'll keep it on the back burner for next time we need it.
Okay.
Well, we ran a little bit long on accident, so we are not going to get to our favorite and least favorite Miami Marlins. So you can get excited to hear that next week.
They got bumped.
Yeah, the Marlins got bumped, but you can be excited to hear about that next
week. Let's give them a little taste. Who's not going to be on the list?
Who's not going to be on the list? Well, let me check my almost made it.
Yeah. Who's just give them a little taste of who's not going to be your favorite so they can...
Here's a couple people that I considered that are not going to be my choice.
Okay.
Favorite, Dan Uggla.
Not going to make it.
Not going to make it. Least favorite, Jeffrey Loria. Not going to make it.
Okay, not going to make it. Cool.
Yeah.
Those are good previews.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing. Jose Ureña. Is it Jose Ureña?
Is he the guy who hit?
Yeah. Not going to be a not favorite.
Okay.
Although I thought about him because I was very mad when that
That's
happened.
A good one. A good near miss.
Favorite? Oh man, I'm still deciding between two. Here we go. I'll say this: favorite, not going to be Miguel Cabrera.
That's fair.
Yeah,
I think I know who your favorite's going to be, but you not knowing has now thrown
a little bit of
a speed
favorite?
Bump in front of me. I think I do.
Okay,
but maybe I'm way off.
Well, this is interesting. We're gonna have to wait a whole week.
Yeah,
or maybe 6 days.
Maybe 6 days. with a cliffhanger like this, you better believe that it's got to be 6 days. We will be back next week. We will be previewing the playoffs.
Woo!
Because the season will be over and the playoffs will be starting.
Between the Dodgers, Rockies, Brewers, Cardinals, so two of those teams are going to be out looking in.
Yeah.
Or one of those teams.
One will be out.
One of those teams will be out looking in.
Yep.
We'll find out if we're playing
let's
a game.
Let's pick real quick. Which do you think is going to be
out
the
looking
playoffs?
In?
Yeah.
Cardinals.
Agree.
But
I think that's because that's what I want to happen.
Well, I think because they're getting beat by the Brewers in two straight. They might get swept by the Brewers. And they have to play the Cubs. And the Cubs are going
to
be, you know.
Trying
I mean,
clinch.
I know that the Cardinals are going to be wanting to take down the Cubs. But, you know, the Cardinals' schedule is not easy.
Right.
But also, man, I want the Rockies to make the playoffs so bad.
Yeah, same.
So that's why I think it's the outside. We'll find out if the game will be in Oakland or New York.
Yep.
That's pretty much it. And then I guess we'll find out if Milwaukee or Chicago will
I
be
think
playing that
technically Oakland is still alive in the AL West. But
I think they're 4.5 out going in today, but I think the Astros won. So I think
so the magic number is maybe like one or something.
Pretty close. Yep.
Well, yeah. So that's not going to happen. But... I'm ready for the playoffs.
I think it's
actually
be a good
I
one.
Really do. I hope we get a play-in game between the Cardinals and Rockies.
Ooh.
And then we get a one game playoff between Cubs and Rockies.
Oh man, that'd be so crazy. It would definitely be in Wrigley. Or we could have the thing where it's like the Rockies and Dodgers tie, so they had to figure that out, and then the loser has to figure out because they also tied with the Cardinals.
Two play-in games?
Ooh. And then also the Brewers and Cubs tied, so they had to figure out who wins that. So it's like a separate play-in game.
Did they? Yeah.
Oof. They'd have to, right?
Yeah,
I guess
so. The stakes
are too high. They'd have to play a game.
Yeah, they couldn't just.
So
like,
that's the dream scenario.
Yeah.
Dodgers-Rockies tie.
Give
with
me a,
the Cardinals.
Give me a week of play-in games before any of the series start.
Oh, I still remember the, was it the...
It's like March Madness, October Madness.
It's March Madness, only it's baseball, which is mind-boggling.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's the dream.
Yeah.
And we'll know next Tuesday if the dream came true.
So I think the odds are against it, but maybe it's a dream.
That's why it's a dream.
all right. Well, do follow us on Twitter at DuckSnorePod. I'll definitely be tweeting playoff thoughts and end of season thoughts. Leave reviews, you know, share the show with people you know and love who like baseball or don't like baseball. I don't care. If they're listening to this, I really don't give a shit if they like baseball or not.
I think if you don't like baseball, you'd still find us pretty charming. So
yeah, I mean, we are very charming. My girlfriend listens. She
we
doesn't
do
like
occasionally
baseball.
Talk about Drag Race.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's other things to offer. Mostly baseball. It'll be mostly baseball from here on out.
Yeah.
That's it, though. Thanks again to Off the Bench, to Boardwalk. Check out us on Tender Friends. And we will talk to you next week. So long.
A Boardwalk Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit boardwalkaudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.